On Midwest Week, the Illinois General Assembly finishes this year's veto session. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Brian Mackey, State House reporter in Springfield for Illinois Public Radio and WUIS Radio. So, Brian, it seemed to come out of nowhere, but one of the top issues for the veto session was sexual harassment. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, it came out of the Harvey Weinstein allegations that have been prompting a lot of women to go online and to the media with reports of, you know, hashtag Me Too. And that came about in Illinois, as it has in other state houses across the country. It sort of was, I guess, at a simmer for the first week of veto session, which was several weeks ago. It was discussed, but it really didn't kind of blow up until there was a public hearing, a committee hearing on a piece of legislation intended to address some of the concerns about harassment. And it was in that hearing where a citizen activist, a woman who advocates on behalf of legislation she believes will help victims of crime get justice, accused State Senator Ira Silverstein, a Democrat, of using his power over some legislation she was supporting to engage in an inappropriate conversation with her. She used terms like mind games and the control he had over me. Senator Silverstein has denied that he did anything that was unethical or wrong, but he is not really talking to the press in great deal about this now. But that's kind of what forced it to blow up in public consciousness.
And also, it seemed like part of it was the House and Senate wanted to do something about it and realized that the person or the position that would have done something about it had been vacant for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's right. And that actually came out in the context of this hearing. So the woman, Denise Rothheimer, who I should also mention is running as a Republican candidate for the House against a Democrat in the suburbs of Chicago, said that she had complained to the Senate President's office almost a year ago, and nothing had come of it. So people began asking, well, what happened to that complaint? The Senate President's office said that he forwarded it to the Inspector General. Well, it turns out the Inspector General position has been vacant for almost 3 years, and there are about 27 complaints that have piled up during that time. So this kind of prompted a lot of people to scratch their heads, say, why haven't we done this? It's a bipartisan panel of lawmakers that's responsible for overseeing ethics complaints. And lo and behold, after this gets out into the public and media reports start coming out about it, they were able to settle on a woman who is a former head of the criminal division in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago, a respected lawyer and an investigator. She's been involved in several high-profile public corruption investigations and prosecutions in Illinois. So she will be handling the backlog of 27 cases.
Okay. Now, there's also a fight during the veto session over the state's financial reporting. What was that all about?
Yeah, this was something that Controller Susana Mendoza has pushed. It's called the Debt Transparency Act. You hear a lot in media reports about the backlog of bills. Earlier this week, it was $16.7 billion. This is money the state owes to providers. That number, though, is just a guess. It's Mendoza's office's best guess, and they get some information from state agencies. But right now, until this law passed, they only had to report it accurately annually. This will require monthly reporting of the bills that are at state agencies. And what it would do is it prevents the governor's office from being able to sort of sit on bills and maybe kind of hide spending that's been done for a while. It seems to be a pretty common sense measure. Most newspapers in Illinois, or a significant number of newspapers in Illinois at least, editorialized in favor of this. And the governor's veto of this legislation was overridden overwhelmingly, more than 100 votes in the House, more than 50 in the Senate, huge majorities overriding the governor, his veto of this legislation. He said it was an unnecessary, you know, added burden of paperwork on his agency.
Well, presumably the governor would know ahead of time that there was the forces were arrayed against him. Why would he stick his neck out on this? It seems like sort of a lose-lose situation.
That's a good question. I think, you know, we can speculate that Controller Mendoza, who's a Democrat and defeated the governor's hand-picked, appointed person in that office, Leslie Munger, has been a thorn in the governor's side since she took office earlier this year. And, perhaps this was just a bit of a political spite, not wanting to give ammunition to one of his opponents who now has an issue she can campaign on and is a champion of fiscal propriety and transparency in government. But, you know, it is a bit of a head-scratcher. Like I said, the editorial boards and huge majorities of the legislature supported this.
Now, something else that came up during the veto session was about student loans and helping students that were behind on their loan payments.
Yeah, this is the Student Loan Bill of Rights. This was pushed by the Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, and it's basically student debt is a huge burden on people. It's been an area that's growing. It's a unique form of debt, unlike a lot of other types of debt. You can't discharge it in bankruptcy. Some people have been really victimized by sort of predatory practices. Some for-profit universities are saddled with tremendous amounts of debt and worthless degrees if they even get a degree. So this is intended to give people some measure of control back over this debt. And this is something else the governor vetoed, but majorities came through. And in fact, one of the House sponsors of this legislation, Democrat Will Ghazardi from Chicago, said he was surprised at how many Republicans crossed over to support this in the end.
And that was something that surprised me, too. Why would so many Republicans be willing to cross the aisle for this one, but not for some others that came up during the session?
You know, for them, it's remarkable because in the first 2 years of the governor's administration, there were almost no veto overrides. I think three, maybe in 2 years, and I counted almost a dozen. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I mean that's just in the last couple of weeks. There have been more this year, and it seems like the governor really, once the budget fight came to a head and his veto had to be overridden there, that kind of put a hole in the dam, if you will. And then the governor really infuriated members of his own party when he signed some pro-abortion legislation allowing for public funding of abortion and signed another bill that some conservative critics have said makes Illinois a sanctuary state on the immigration issue. And it seems like Republicans are, on some topics at least, willing to vote what they think is the right thing to do and not necessarily bow to the demands of what the governor wants.
Okay, now something that the governor did seem to win on was a right to work, and that was to allow local governments to adopt right to work laws or provisions or something, ordinances?
Yeah, this is, the governor calls these economic empowerment zones. They would be areas a local government could say, we're going to set up an area where you don't have to have the clothes shop, right? Where you're not currently in Illinois required to join a union if the union unionizes your workplace, but you do have to pay a fee. It's called a fair share fee because the idea is you are benefiting from the presumably higher wage and benefits and grievance procedures and things like that the union is providing. So you have to pay what they call a fair share. The governor hates this idea. A lot of conservative activists hate this idea. He knows that he doesn't have the votes to get that passed statewide in Illinois, like some other industrial states have done. But so he thought maybe if I can get some, more conservative communities to take this up, it would be a way of luring factory jobs, that sort of thing here. Labor obviously hates this idea. They work with Democrats to try and ban it. And at one point, it was actually going to be a criminal offense to pass one of these if you were a local mayor or something like that. But ultimately, this is an issue that's very near and dear to the governor's heart. He has, like a lot of wealthy conservatives, libertarian conservatives, he has a strong disdain for the role of unions in the world of work and in government. And so he worked very hard and managed to keep it from passing by just one vote, or keep his veto from being overridden by one vote. I should say the law would have outlawed these in the state of Illinois.